coming. Civilly has to do it. Okay. Anyway, I'm actually going to do something that I don't usually do, and that is I'm going to try to combine three topics that I was asked to speak about into one presentation. Part of it is a review from last semester, and there's a lot of people who didn't hear that, but I'm going to put that in conjunction with two other topics that I was asked to speak about. The three topics that I was asked to speak about were choosing a profession, A. B. How do I know if I am cut out for the profession of chinuch? And C, which I believe was related to the question of chinuch, but it's generally not a bad question anyway. See, the truth is, since we spoke about that last semester, I could have just talked about how do I know if I'm cut out for chinuch, but I thought that wouldn't really be relevant to some people here who have absolutely no desire to go into chinuch, although it's going to help you to figure out what the right yeshiva to send your kids to is, because you have to know whether the people who actually teach in that place actually fulfill these criteria. But the third topic is, how can I get used to living on less money? Which I guess was originally asked in the context of, I grew up in a pretty well-to-do house, and I'm thinking about going into chinuch, and I realize I'm going to have to make less money. So how do I go about doing that? Yummy. But I think that there's relevance in that discussion regardless of whether you're going to chinuch, because, thank you very much. I think there's relevance about that because, first of all, oftentimes you're not going to, whatever profession you're going to go into, you're not going to make as much money necessarily as your parents did, although I would dare say that most of our parents made tons more money than their parents did. That's just the cyclical way of the economy and the various things that are going on. So, and bichlal, regardless of that, I think it's important for a person to have a good perspective on having a lot of money and not making as much money or things of that nature. So I'm going to try to talk about all three of these things at one shot. So just the two-minute review from last semester's talk about what type of job to choose. So, and you should, I guess, just listen to that. It's only 20 minutes. And actually, there's an hour-long version of it that I gave at Torah Shraga a couple of weeks ago. And again, in Boca Raton, whatever. But that's not on tape because that was on Shabbos. But anyway, this short version of that is that a person is supposed to try to find for himself, the Gemara says in the end of Kiddushin, an umnus kala unikia. And the way I was explaining umnus kala unikia, kala means an easy job. What do you mean easy job? First of all, ain't no such thing as an easy job. Every job requires work. Adam la'amol yulad, and this world involves a lot of hard work. Chinuch requires a lot of hard work. Any job that's going to pay you anything requires a lot of hard work. I was talking to a boy in yeshiva today who was complaining there's too much work in yeshiva. Isn't that interesting? Nowadays people say there's too much work here. Used to be people who would say that no one did any work here, but Baruch Hashem for that. But anyway, one of the ideas is that by training yourself, it is important for a person to train himself to be someone who is a hard worker. To be a hard worker, to be somebody who works hard, and that's important. So what does it mean as kala? Kala means it shouldn't overtake your life. A person has a job, a parnasa, that's supposed to be something that he does exactly for that. For his parnasa, that's what your job is. You have to make your hishtadlus. Hashem provides parnasa, but He created the world in a way that a Jew has to work for a living, has to make hishtadlus. The pasuk says, "Bzeh sapecha tocha lechem," that you have to work for a living, but it shouldn't be a work that totally consumes you. Too many people are involved in too many jobs that totally take over their entire lives and doesn't leave them any time for learning, doesn't leave them any time for family. There's no reason that a person should involve himself in a profession that so totally overtakes him that he can't learn and that he doesn't have time for his family, or to do other things that can still make him be a person. And we spoke about that at length, that life is nowadays so frenetic. The husband has a wife, the husband has a job, the wife has a job, and there's no time for the kids. The kids are growing up with no parents, and this is a terrible, terrible situation. So that's why a person has to try to choose a job that will still allow him to have some sanity, to learn, to raise children, to raise a family. Problem is that most Americans here don't have too much of a family or anything, so the jobs in the job market, most of them require you 24/7 commitment, except for your forward vacation to the Bahamas when you actually live and live it up, and then you come back and kill yourself the rest of the year, and you don't need to have any time because you have only 1.2 kids, if that. and basically you can just not even get married. You just have a relationship with a wife, one wife this week, one wife the next week, and so it's a whole different society. So obviously, so you have to work hard to think about finding a job that allows you to have a normal family. Now, what about, how does a person know if he's cut out for chinuch? What type of person is cut out for chinuch? So, I like to say, Hashem Pshat, Shimon and Levi, they were real kanoim, they were real in a certain sense, they were really moser nefesh for their daughter Dina. Yaakov got upset with them. Or apom ki oz v'avrasam ki kashasa, but achal kem b'yakov v'afitzeim b'yisrael, Rashi says, they're going to be the malamdei tinokos, they're going to be the people who are the rabbeim. Because being a rebbe requires tremendous mesiris nefesh. Mesiris nefesh for a sister, mesiris nefesh for a brother, mesiris nefesh for any Jew, no matter who he is. It requires a tremendous amount of dedication to other people. So you have to be someone who by nature is someone dedicated to other people. Above and beyond that, I often state that a Rebbe has to have three things. He has to know a lot of Torah, and the more Torah you know, even teaching 7th graders, 5th graders, the more Torah you know, the more you'll be able to impart. You have to know. Above and beyond having to know, you have to also know how to communicate something in a clear and cogent manner. Which requires, you have to know how to speak in a clear and cogent manner. When I speak to people, I try to talk to people as if I'm talking to a 3-year-old or a 5-year-old. That every person who's listening to me should be able to fully comprehend and understand exactly what I'm talking about, which involves speaking slowly, which involves speaking in a manner that's understandable, which involves having one idea build into the next in a structured, organized presentation. But this is not right now a lecture on how to present things clearly. It just means we're talking about in terms of choosing a profession. So it has to do with, first of all, knowing something. But second, most importantly for teachers, you have to know how to give it over. You have to know how to give it over. You have to know how to give it over in a clear fashion. You have to be a good communicator. You have to be somebody who has self-confidence, who has presence, who is somebody who can walk into a classroom and kids are going to say, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy. You know, it's just a matter of having a certain presence, having a certain self-confidence, having a certain ability, having the ability to connect to people. Some people are better at connecting to people than others. And you have to be somebody who has a natural ability to connect to people, a natural desire to connect to people. And third and most importantly, you have to be somebody who really, really cares about people. Now, there are a lot of people who care about people, but again, it's caring in the context of the mesiris nefesh that I spoke about before. It's got to be a care that, like, after a long day, And then you're going to get phone calls and issues from people afterwards, and when you want to spend your own time doing things, it's going to come on the cheshbon of your own time. I say all the time that being a Rebbe has almost nothing to do with learning. Okay? Almost nothing to do with learning. Yes, you have to know something. You have to be into learning because you have to want to spend enough time learning on your own. But teaching and learning are totally different things. Don't go into chinuch because you want to stay in learning. That is not a good reason to go into chinuch. Again, I'm not going to deny that didn't have a little bit of my own impetus, but that's not the good impetus, honestly. That's not the good impetus. It has to be that you're somebody who has a natural, overflowing desire to give over to other people. Now, again, that's something that can be developed. It can be developed. You know, it's not like there are people who thought they were going to be lawyers because they didn't think they had this natural overflowing ability to give to people. And then when they tried it out and started getting into it, they discovered that they did have it. So I'm not saying it's something you could just like take a profile test and know right away. It's hard sometimes to know. But you got to have that sense of mesiris nefesh, a sense of presence, a sense of desire to give to people, a sense of self-confidence. I'll tell you, when I walked in, I don't want to give it away to Rabbi Leibowitz, but I got to tell you that when I walked into my first day of teaching in MTA in 10th grade, Rabbi Leibowitz was sitting in the classroom. I got to tell you, I was terrified that I was going to be eaten alive by the MTA chevra of 20 years ago. I was terrified. And for the first few weeks, it almost happened. But you got to get over that and just, come in with the self-confidence and say, I'm going to get this done, and, you know, whatever. Baruch Hashem, it ended up, you know, working out, pretty much, more or less. So, there's a lot of factors about going with the chinuch, but most of them have to do with, there has to be a tremendous sense of commitment. There has to be a commitment to get along with less money, to be able to live on less money. That's going to be the last part we'll talk about in a few seconds, but there does has to be a commitment. Although I will tell you, being very honest, in my wildest dreams, I never imagined that I would be living in a house the size of what I'm living in now. Never imagined. Again, I decided to become a principal. That allows you a little bit more flexibility, and the salary structure of a principal is much different than the salary structure of a Rebbe. It's just the way it is, whatever reason. I mean, I can never have dreamed that such a thing would happen, going into Chinuch. That's not what I planned. I planned on being a Rebbe. I mean, I probably planned on being a principal, but whatever. Whatever it is. But the Iker thing, and I knew I wanted to be a Rebbe for a very long time. Well, in high school, I entertained some thoughts of being a lawyer or something like that, but generally speaking, with me, it was in my family. You know, my father was in Chinuch. My grandfather was one of the fathers of Chinuch in the United States. He started Yeshivas all in the United States. So by me, Chinuch was really breakfast, lunch, and supper in the house. So I had a tremendous advantage. But that's not the normal path that most people, I don't think, really take. Some people take that path. But it has to do with having a sense of dedication to the klal, being selfless, being moser nefesh like Shimon and Levi were, being willing to put your koiches on the line for other people. You have to be a very naturally giving person who naturally puts other needs before you, and you have to be able to live on less money. So let's use the last few points, which I think is relevant to everybody to a certain degree. So connected to this, how does a person develop that ability to live on less money? So the truth is that it's difficult for me to communicate that to people who grew up very wealthy, because I grew up with pretty much nothing, because my father had nothing and my grandfather had nothing. When I say nothing, I mean very, very, very little. You know, my grandfather worked for Torah Mesorah, you know, had really nothing. My mother's parents maybe had a little bit. They had a mom and pop grocery store. I mean, a little bit they had, you know, but really nothing compared to what, you know, I think most Five Towns families have. I don't think so. So it's a little hard, honestly, for me to communicate this to you, because it's because I was brought up on very little. So because of that, it's not hard for me to do that. But just a few basic ideas, which I hope could be helpful. I mean, Pasuk says, Ohev kesef lo yispa kesef, which means once a person develops for himself a taiva for gashmias, for money, he will never be satisfied with that. Person has to develop within himself the attitude that money and gashmias and material things is not what makes the world go round. It's not what's important in this world. Yes, a person has to make enough parnasa to live. But what does live mean? Does live mean fancy clothing? Does live mean fancy house? Does live mean fancy cars? And if a person grew up on fancy cars, he may end up, you know, driving an Oldsmobile, you know, whatever, for a long time. It still gets you from place to place the same way. You know, a person you have to realize, even if you grew up that way, you have to realize that's not what the world's about. A person, I believe, can train himself to realize that, yes, you have to make enough money to live on, to pay tuition, to send your kids to yeshiva, but it doesn't have to be for fancy vacations. It doesn't have to be going away for Pesach. It doesn't have to be going away for winter vacation. It doesn't have to be, you know, these things are not things that a person needs, even if you grew up with them, and you can train yourself to be mistopic with less. Now, again, I will say on one side of the coin, and I don't know if this is a sexist comment. I don't know if more girls have this problem than boys, you know. I don't know if that's true or not, because I know that people who deal with shidduchim a lot say that if a guy is going into chinuch and he's going out with a girl who comes from a wealthy family, so sometimes one of the issues is is the girl going to be able to exist with less money if the girl is used to living on a lot of money? I would assume that that problem exists by girls, and it exists by the boy, the men too. Exists by the boys also. So on the one hand, I think you do have to deal with this issue that there are people, I don't know if it's girls more than boys, I have no way of knowing this. Some people suggest that, I don't realize why that don't think that should be the case. But people who, I think you do have to address the issue that people who are used to growing up with a certain amount of money, boys or girls, I think have to question whether they will be able to exist on less money. Having said that, there are lots of people who grew up in the five towns who were sitting learning in Kol and Eretz Yisrael, sitting and learning in Ramat Eshkol or wherever they are, and they're existing on mashed potatoes and they mash up the bananas for the kids instead of buying baby formula. I don't think that's a bad thing. Obviously, it means it's doable. Obviously, it means that there were people who grew up with a lot of money who made a decision to say, I don't need to live like that. I can exist on, as long as I have, you know, food to eat, put food on the table, I can pay for clothing for my kid. Again, by the way, even that's a lot of money. Even that's a lot of money. It requires a lot of money even for the basics nowadays. That's true. But thanks to certain people in Chinuch, I mean, again, you know, I feel badly about, you know, what we pay the staff here. I wish we could pay the staff more, but, you know, people are finding a way to make ends meet. People are holding down more than one position, you know, and the yeshiva tries its best within the financial means that the yeshiva has to try to help people. And there are some yeshivas that do a better job of paying their rebbes more, and some yeshivas do not as good a job. We're probably somewhere in the middle, honestly. But it is possible to make a living in chinuch. Probably better than it was 20 years ago, I would say for sure. But having said that, yeah, it is also possible for a person to work on himself, and even if he grew up with a silver spoon in his mouth, I believe that it's possible for a person to realize that gashmius and excessive material things are not something that he needs, and you can grow out of that. How do you grow out of that? You grow out of that by drilling into yourself and instilling into yourself that this is not something that you need. And even if you're used to something, a person can change. A person can change his habits. He can change the way he eats. Right? A person on a diet, he can change the way he eats. It's possible to change your nature. Your nature might be to eat a lot. It's possible for a person to be misgaber. Right? A person has big yetzaharas in various issues. He has yetzaharas for gashmius. So you have to work on that yetzahara. If you think that a life of chinuch is, if you think that it's the right life for you, I believe the Gemara says in one place, I tried to look for it quickly, but the Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu sheds 3 tears every day. I forgot what the third one was, but the one of them is for people who should have gone into chinuch who didn't. Because they have a kayach for somebody who was able to give over. I believe there's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says Dvar Hashem Bazam, somebody who ridicules the word of Hashem, that's somebody who is Loime Torah Ve'inam Olam De La'achir. So, person who has the ability to give over, has the ability to help out other people in Yiddishkeit, and he decides to just go for himself, a profession that's not involved in helping people, that's not involved in making the world a better place, and he could have given koichas. So then we're going to have, after 120 years, like by the story with the Netziv, which maybe I'll tell you a different time, right? Where's the Hamak Dover? Where's the Hamak Sheila? Where are all the Talmidim that could have been helped out? Klal Yisrael needs good Mechanchem. We need good people to go into Chinuch. The same token that Kosh Baruch cries another tier, people who went into Chinuch who shouldn't be going into Chinuch. There's plenty of people in the field who have no business being there, who are self-centered, or only in it for their own right. They're not Dormel Amal Hashem, like we spoke about. The Rambam says, if the Rebbe's Dormel Amal Hashem, Tariyav Akshon Piyu, when you send your kids to yeshivas, make sure they send it to the Rebbe's, who are the right kind of Rebbe's, where the Rebbe doesn't have his own agendas, the Rebbe doesn't speak clearly, the Rebbe doesn't care, the Rebbe doesn't know anything. There's plenty of people out there, Rebbe's and yeshivas, that don't know what they're talking about. They know very little. They didn't succeed in their own learning. So how are they going to be able to give it over to other people to succeed? That's the second tier HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries. I forgot the third tier. I think there was three tiers. But what?
There are three.
I forgot what the third tier was. But anyway, I think those were two out of the three. I have to find the Gemara. But anyway, Hanugei Lamaisa Hayotzei, it is very short, brief treatment of three subjects. A person has to try to find a parnasa that allows him to learn. And what was Nakia? Kalo Nakia. I forgot that. Nakia means that you don't have to cheat and steal in the parnasa. There's too many jobs out there that a person is forced to either cheat in his taxes or chas v'shalom to cheat other people and to be dishonest and disingenuous. That's terrible. There's no heder for that. So that's in terms of choosing a parnasa. In terms of are you cut out for chinuch, you got to be somebody who's mosa nefesh for other people. You got to be somebody who has the self-confidence. You got to be somebody who's... And by the way, dealing with people all day long is very, very stressful. People are not like computers, right? They don't always... Whatever you input doesn't necessarily... output, right? You press the button, you don't necessarily know what you're getting with a child. A child's not like a computer. So you gotta have loads of patience and loads of tolerance. You have to be willing to take a certain amount of abuse, honestly, from parents, from kids. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. You have to be mosa nefesh for the klal. That's what being a leader, a Jewish leader, it means. You have to be willing to take, that's what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Right, Rav Salvechik has a beautiful essay. Kisomare lai sa'eu b'chekecha kasha yisa omenes ayonek. Moshe, this is one of the people who are complaining. What do I have to birth these people like a child? And Hashem says, yeah. That's what Rav Salvechik understands. Hashem says, yeah, that's exactly what you're supposed to do. You have to be like a nursing mother, like an omen. That's why I told you to separate yourself from your wife. Because you're married to Klal Yisrael to a degree. Not the time for now to go into that, what that means exactly. But at any rate... So it requires a certain amount of self-sacrifice. You have to know something. You have to know how to give it over. You have to be clear on how to give it over. And you have to care. The Iker thing is the Rebbe has to care a tremendous amount about his Talmidim, which means he has to sacrifice for himself and put his Talmidim in first. And how to get used to living on less money. You got to realize that Gashmis is not what makes the world go round. And that's not what's going to give you happiness in life. Oev kesef, lo yisba kesef. If that's what you think is going to bring you happiness in life, you're never going to be satisfied with that because you always need more. You always need more. So hopefully we can develop in ourselves these midos tovos, we'll choose the right professions, and we knocked off three topics on the list, so only a couple more, so we're always willing to hear more suggestions. Have a wonderful day and a great Shabbos.